It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at ManureTea.com.
You asked for it, you got it. Access the Rose Chat Podcast app from your iPhone or Android device. Find instructions at RoseChatPodcast.com.
Well, hey, y'all. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Now, getting your kids interested in gardening is a subject on many parents' minds, and our guest tonight's here to offer some tips on how to get your kids interested in growing roses. Lee Stevens is our guest, and she's here to tell us how a childhood love of roses convinced her to start the American Rose Society's Kids and Roses program.
Lee is in the virtual studio and will be joining us in just a moment.
We'll be right back. There's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the Rose Photography Contest, visit ars.org.
Welcome back to Rose Chat Podcast, sponsored by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners and SW Greenhouse.
Hello, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Teresa. I'm so glad to be with you this evening. This is wonderful.
Well, we're so glad to have you. You know, Chris mentioned in the intro that your love of roses as a child led you to create the Kids in Roses program. We would love to hear about that journey.
Well, you know, I was very blessed to have older parents who were gardeners from way back, and aunties and neighbors that just had super gardens. And I am just so impressed. And today in my mind, I can smell the roses and the lilacs and the peonies. And it just made such a wonderful impression. But working with these adults who cared about me and touching the warm soil and being in the sunshine and waiting for these things to happen, the anticipation of gardening was just what captured my heart and my passion.
I think, Chris, and I would agree that it's those early memories that we have of fragrance and digging in the dirt that just stay with you. So we're so excited for this program that you've put together. Tell us some things that the kids will learn in a program like Kids in Roses.
Well, we've got quite a few things that we do with the kids, but most of all, they're going to learn to have fun, because that is the main idea of Kids in Roses. But along the way, as we're showing them how to have fun doing these different things, they learn how to create their own organic rose food. They learn how to identify and select the best types of roses for their own gardens. They also learn about organic pest controls and how to make compost, good soil, and how to brew compost tea.
Great. Now, what age groups are you teaching all this to?
Right now, our focus has been on second to sixth grade students in elementary schools here in California.
Do you think the program would be adaptable to other age groups as you have time?
I believe, given the creativity of the individual who wants to present this information, you could gear it to any grade level that you want. I've actually used some of the Kids in Roses PowerPoints to teach at adult centers and show them things about what we do with roses.
Well, so, you know, I would be very interested to know how to make your own organic fertilizer. I guess I'm just a big kid at heart.
We want the recipe.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the little kids who had been in our group the very first season came back the second season and said the first thing out of her mouth was, "I remember how to make my own rose food. First you have to have blood meal, and then you have to have bone meal, and then you have to have worm poop." So she got the message.
Well, no wonder she was excited. I mean, really, in school you get to talk about worm poop? I mean, really?
That's what the road
hard to forget.
In third grade.
That's going to be hard for me to forget. When you and I talked earlier in the week, you said that you were very busy at school this week, so I'm wondering, what's going on? What's keeping you so busy this week?
Oh, my goodness. We are having so much fun. We can hardly stand ourselves. We are going to put on the first ever Bryant Elementary School Rose Parade on Friday, May 1st. We have 14 classes that are involved in this parade. They're making seven floats. Our mayor is going to come and be our grand marshal. And we invited our city councilman, who rides all over town on a Segway, you know, those little two-wheeled bicycle things, coming and bringing his Segway so we can decorate it for one of the floats in the parade. The kindergartners are drawing pictures of roses, and they're going to carry their pictures in the parade. And we've got about 450 kids involved in this, and it's just at the school, and the parents get to come and watch it. And basically the kids are using silk roses or paper roses that they're making, or drawn roses, or roses that they've cut out of magazines, you know. Because, first of all, the expense of doing it with real flowers would be enormous, and we can't do that. And second, we live in California, and it's hot already, so we don't want the roses to wilt while they're waiting to go on their parade route. So that's what we're doing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's so exciting and so much fun for the kids. And even though this is an after-school program, you've got the mayor involved. How cool is that?
Oh, it's just been such a wonderful thing. You know, it's almost a magical key that opens many doors in the city when you start talking to them about how you want to enrich the lives of children with beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And roses are definitely the flower that fits that bill.
Absolutely. I'm wondering, you said there was going to be 450 children involved in the parade. How many children go through this program in the course of a year, a school year?
Well, because we're in an after-school program, the census of each class can change every 6 weeks because kids rotate out, new kids rotate in to these classes. So in the course of a year, we're going to reach personally and spend time with anywhere from 80 to 100 children.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Do you have a waiting list of kids wanting to get into the program? I'm sure your size is limited.
Actually it is. Our largest class so far has been 22 children at one time. And generally it's about 20 children. And there are kids whose parents apply for the Green Team and Kids and Roses, but are not able to get in at that particular session that they want. So fortunately, it's every 6 weeks it changes, so they all have chances to get in the program sometime during the year. Well, quite a few of them in the after-school program.
Great. Now, you mentioned crafts and hands-on activities. What are some of the crafts that they do?
Well, since we worked with the kids to put in a rose garden, we have been gathering up the spent blossoms, you know, and drying them. And then we made, just before Christmas, we made these really pretty picture frames where the kids drew a picture of a rose. And then it had a wide wooden border. We got these like at the 99-cent store or something, you know. And then the kids took all the crushed rose petals, dried rose petals, and glued them all over the frame. So their picture of the rose was framed by real rose petals, which was very fun. And the other thing is making like a sugar scrub for their mamas and their grandmas for birthdays or for Mother's Day. And we dry our roses and add our baby oil and do our cute little things to it. And so they all go home with a beautiful jar with a tied with a ribbon and a little silk rose on it to take their rose sugar body scrub home for their loved ones. So that's a couple of the things that we've done.
Now, one of the things that you and I talked about was something that you called the Wall of Dreams. Tell us about that.
Well, that is a very special thing to my heart because I am an avid reader and I really love to write. And so I want to help share those skills with children as well as growing roses. So last year we initiated a program called I Have a Dream. It's a writing contest which correlates with our rose garden we planted there, which we call the Dream Garden. We have different roses planted that the children chose for their garden that have to do with some aspect of a dream, like Coretta Scott King. You know, that gorgeous rose is a symbol of her husband's dream that she shared for racial equality. We have the Rose Disneyland, who had a greater dream than Walt Disney to entertain the world, and Barbara Streisand, who has a little child, dreamed of being a singer who could sing her music for the world. And so there's their dream garden. The contest is I Have a Dream. It's divided up into three sections so that we have three winners each year. It would be kindergarten through second, third through fourth, and fifth through sixth. So we draw or we evaluate the writings, and then they're chosen. Last year they were chosen by our city council members, and then we put them on a plaque, and my husband made these beautiful little monuments at the corner of the rose garden, so their writing goes on the plaque where the public walks by and can see their writing all year long. And then at the end, this year we're taking those plaques off, and the school has given us this wall at their facility that their art teacher is decorating to look like a big rose garden, and it'll say Bryant Elementary's Wall of Dreams, and the retired plaques will then begin to be put on that wall, and that will go for as many years as that school stands. We will have new plaques on the wall every year. And wouldn't that be cool in, you know, 15 years or 20 years where a person can come back and point to that wall, to their child. I had this dream when I was your age, and how important that dream has been to me. So those dreams are going up on the wall, and those dreams are out in the garden.
Wow. I'm just speechless. What a wonderful program that takes in so many elements of education and the spirit of the child and the whole dream of the child, and just promoting it and rewarding it. Well done. I just love that.
Oh, I do too. You know, I really believe that one of the just the most popular parts of this with the kids, they love the writing, they love working with the roses, but I think really what is just so popular with them is that they have caring adults who give them face time and encouragement and meaningful to do, not fluff, meaningful things that really, it's measurable. They can see that the expenditure of their time and their efforts means something because they're watching healthy roses grow and bloom, and they're making their school more beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That makes me wonder what the kids actually say they think of the program. Do you have any testimonies or stories that you've heard from the kids about what the program at large means to them?
Well, yeah, actually, probably way too many for our podcast, but I do have some. One little girl wrote us a letter, and in the letter she said that she loved the fact that we were patient with her and taught her how to give roses a haircut. That's pruning, in case no one else knows our code word. So she now knows how to give her roses a haircut. One little boy said that he was just so excited that he found out that roses have to go to sleep and they need friends like companion plantings to keep their roots cooler in the hot summer sun. So he said, that's really neat, that they have to have friends just like I do. And I have to go get my hair cut, and so do they. And we can put them to sleep just like I have to. So he learned to relate to these beautiful roses in a very sweet childlike. But I think one of the cutest things that was just touched me that is so funny, we saw a couple of the little girls out on a public mall with their mom selling Girl Scout cookies. And when they saw us at quite a distance, they started jumping up and down, and they were hollering so loud. They were saying, "Mama, Mama, look, it's Mr. and Mrs. Rose." And I thought, well, you know, they missed the name, but they sure caught our passion for it.
Oh, I would love to be called Mrs. Rose.
I am the official Rose Lady at school. That's how they all address me. It's rarely Mrs. Stevens. It's usually, "Hi, Rose Lady."
Now, if I'm a homeschool parent or an after-school program leader and I want to learn more about the program, where can I get information?
Well, actually, there is quite a bit of information available on the website for the American Rose Society at rose.org, www.rose.org. That is definitely one place that they can go. I would like to say those lessons are just a springboard, you know, because everyone has something to bring to the table. Everyone has their own unique personality, their own unique gifting. So we made this as a springboard, not as the be-all, end-all for teaching children about roses. So don't feel like you have to walk in those steps only, because just using that to look at, go through the lessons, familiarize yourself with them, it then is that springboard for further ideas of how you can do lessons with kids that will help them to learn more about rose horticulture.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'm wondering, in your program, do you have anything as far as like rose arranging or rose showing as a part of your curriculum?
Well, actually, we are working on a new PowerPoint presentation that will go up on the American Rose website. That is about flower arranging. Well, we're working on several. One is on propagation, not hybridization. Mm-hmm. We've got one on hybridization, but one on propagation and one on rose arranging and one on companion planting for rose gardens. So those are the three we're working on right now, but they won't be available probably till the end of fall.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, before we let you go, we want to know a little bit about you as a rose gardener. Tell us a little bit about your rose garden. How many roses do you grow?
We're crazy people, let me tell you. We live on a third of an acre in a downtown city lot. We have an 1888 Victorian house. And so I love lots of structure for roses to grow on. My husband and I grow in excess of 300 roses. And we have a rose nursery on our little corner lot where we grow roses to give away to people all the time. I'm telling you, we're obsessed. It's probably wrong, but we're really obsessed. And I love the old garden roses. One of my favorite old garden roses is the rose Paul Neron, because it has such a marvelous, ruffle, beautiful fragrance. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of a modern version of that, which is Yves Piaget, a hybrid tea that, oh my gosh, it's just so pretty. And so I have never met a rose that I don't like. And I have a lot of different property to like them more.
What's that song? If this is wrong, I don't want to be right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Go ahead.
I always say I've never met a rose I didn't want, and my husband will go, "Now, honey, you mean I've never met a rose I didn't like?" I said, "No, I've never met a rose I didn't want." So you're in very good company here tonight. I think Chris is in the same boat.
Roses are just so fascinating. There's such a wide palette of color and design and structure. They're amazing. They're just works of art as far as I'm concerned.
The history, the fragrance, I mean, there's so many aspects
right.
to rose culture. There's just so much to learn, as you've proven tonight by all of the programs that you developed for children. I can only imagine. I've loved to be in the garden since I was 5 years old. I can only imagine what school would have been like for me if they had been teaching me about roses and gardening. And what a delight. Now, you grow all these roses, you teach about growing roses. What would be your advice to someone who's just getting started in a rose garden?
Oh, you know, do not follow my example, or you will be living with too many roses to prune. I think my advice is just simple. Every time I meet a new person, or we sign up a new person for our Rose Society, I just encourage these people to join a local Rose Society, because you can meet such friendly people there that are willing to mentor them and help them learn many tips and techniques for growing beautiful roses. But not only that, they can also help you prevent some pitfalls and running into problems, so that you're successful at what you're doing, so therefore you get more confidence, and then you can venture out and become a radical, passionate rose person like me. But I also tell
that's
them...
That's stage two.
Yeah.
Stage one is interest.
I also encourage them to become members of the American Rose Society and read the American Rose magazine, because that thing is just jam full of rose information on every level of gardening expertise. And if you want to go completely sustainable and organic, that's there. If you want to use chemicals, that's there. There's something for everyone. And the pictures just inspire you to do something in your yard that you might not have thought were possible.
That's so true. It is a beautiful magazine, and it's filled with information. And in the world of roses, just like we said, there really is something for everyone. And you don't have to start out like Chris and Lee and me. You can start out with a few. But be warned, we started out with a few as well.
Yeah, I started out with just one, which, you know, by the way, I mowed over for several years before I ever knew it existed. So I've somehow
had you caught the vision.
Yeah.
Chris, did you notice how much space she said she was growing these roses in?
You know, that's about the same size as my lot, and I'm probably going to be making a trip out there because I only have 150, and if you can get 150 more on, I want to know your secret.
Well, let me tell you what the secret is. The secret is I have a big, nice, wide boulevard in front of my house that the city provides free of charge, and that's covered with roses. My front yard's covered with roses. My north side garden's covered with roses. My backyard is covered with roses. And my south side, which is where my big old concrete driveway is, has got tubs and planters and roses every which direction you can think of. So that's how we do it, Chris. Well, come on out. You can come visit and see for yourself.
Okay.
Well, until we get out there, you have to send us pictures. I know you're in bloom season right now. It's beginning to get hot there in Southern California, but I know the blooms are still there, so we want pictures. We need to see pictures of this masterpiece that you've created.
Well, it is really beautiful. I had some folks walk through the garden today, and the lady stopped and she said, you know, there's not one spot in this garden where you would ever feel at a loss for a meditative, sweet presence of peace. And I thought, well, golly, that's cool. I like that. But it is. It is kind of a combination between a formal garden and an English cottage garden. So it has aspects of both. But it is a lovely place. It is a place of healing for many people who come and just want to sit in my rose garden and chill out and relax their mind and relax their body.
Lee, some of my treasures are the notes that I've received from people who came on Open Garden Day when I may not even be there. I just tell people that it's going to be open, and I'm at work, and the notes that you get from people on what the experience meant to them or what they might be facing in their life, and they came there and just found some repose or, you know, just felt closer to God for being in a garden. And those things, you know, sharing what we love and having that kind of feedback is just something very special. And I do treasure that. I can only imagine that you do. And hearing from all of these children whose life you're enriching and touching, I'm so thankful for that. And it's a very special thing that you're doing.
Well, thank you. We think it's a very special thing, too. And we think that the children that we work with are the most special of all. They're just precious, precious young people who have their life ahead of them. And wouldn't it just be wonderful if some of the kids we touch today with our love and passion for roses might become the researchers or the great rosarians of the world in the future because they had that beautiful experience in a garden and they learned that they can do it too. That's the point, that they can do it too.
So many times we hear, I'm sure Chris would attest to this as well, we hear, oh, it's too hard, or roses are difficult, or roses are prima donnas, or I don't think I can do that, don't think I have the time. And you're just blowing that theory out of the water because, you know, this is something that is simple that a child can learn. A child can learn to love, and a child can do. So thank you again for just the reality of how easy it is to cultivate roses.
Well, you know, I do want to point out one thing. I do this teaching with the children, and I do work in my own rose garden, and I'm confined to a wheelchair. So it can be done by anyone who has a heart and a desire to do it. I must give credit where credit's due. I have an amazing husband who loves kids and loves roses just as much as I do. And, you know, so he can lift and tote things that I can't do. And out of our 300 plus roses, I can only do about 100 of them or a little bit over in the pruning part. And he does the rest. But, you know, you can, no matter what your level of skill or what your level of physical activity, there's always something you can do. And if you can't go out and teach in a rose garden, then find somebody who will and give them a donation and say, hey, get some more roses for those kids and let them plant them.
Mm-hmm. Lee, thanks for sharing that personal side of your story. I'd also add that Lee is president of her Rose Society. So the more you know about Lee, the more you know how busy she is, how much she is adding to the wonderful world of roses.
Yep. And I'll just say, score one for husbands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mine is a keeper. Definitely.
Well, you know, it's really a testimony to teamwork, not only in the garden, but in the classroom. You know, it truly takes a village to help inspire the minds of young people today. So hats off to you both.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. We're just very privileged to get to be doing this. And as long as God gives me enough health to get up and get out, I'm going to do it. And I do want to leave you with this. And for a lot of people out there who are a little older than elementary school age children, my mama always said she would rather burn out than rust out any day. So I would encourage you, do not rust, but to let your light burn brightly with your passion for loving others and loving children and loving roses. It will make a difference in our world.
Totally well said. Now that was that she would rather burn out than rust out. Now, those are words
That's
to live
right.
by.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I can get into those words. I get that. Lee, it has truly been our pleasure to have you. We know that you're busy, and we know you have a lot on your plate, but you took the time to be with us, and we appreciate it. I feel like we've just scratched the surface of all the facets of this program, but we will send our people to rose.org to find out more. Again, thank you so much for sharing with us this evening.
Oh, my pleasure, you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye. Guys, I want to encourage you to visit rose.org to access the free resources that we spoke about this evening. There you'll find not only information about this program, but a wealth of knowledge on other rose-related topics. Again, the website is rose.org. Now we've come to the end of another show. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.